What can you do with your love of science? We'll tell you. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to your favorite podcast. We love science. We are your hosts. I'm Shakira.
And I'm Fatu. And today we have another crispy episode for you guys.
Yes, we do. We're back with another all CRISPR episode. And this time it's all about sickle cell disease. But before we get started, how are you doing today, Fatu?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. You know, it's been a little bit of a lazy day coming off the weekend. But yeah, not too bad. I got a lot of sleep on Saturday. Nice. I slept like almost the whole day. My body was just like in reboot mode. I don't know what it was. So today, I'm feeling very energetic, very refreshed. How about you, Shakira?
Reboot mode. What are you rebooting from?
Girl, I don't know.
All right. The body gets what the body needs, right?
Yeah, I think I just needed it. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm all for lots of sleep. So that's okay. I'm doing pretty good too, actually. Mm-hmm. It's another spring, like very nice day here. It's still a little chilly though, because it's like low 50s here, but at least it's not raining. We had some pretty bad storms at the beginning of the week. So,
okay.
Yeah, at least it's not raining. It's nice today. And, you know, the trees are flowering and soon they'll be green again. So, yeah, spring is always a nice time of year.
Lovely.
Like a new beginning.
Yeah, I love spring. Yeah. It is a really nice time of year. It's a really nice time of year. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's also like, this is just the beginning of April, right? But it's already like getting dark. Like not till 8 o'clock. So I'm like, oh my gosh.
Wow.
I feel like it's staying right later than normally for beginning of April. Happy about that. It's nice to have a little bit more daylight.
Yeah, right? Always.
Yep. So today's episode is all about sickle cell disease. So what is it? What are the symptoms, the treatments, and the CRISPR cure, right? So CRISPR gene therapy treatment, I guess is what I should say, which is effectively a cure based on the results from patients who receive this treatment, right? So I think it's fair to say the CRISPR cure.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, I'm just thinking back to when we were younger, you know, probably like middle school, high school biology, we're learning all about sickle cell disease, you know, and back then, I don't even think people had any ideas that a cure would be on the horizon, you know, maybe like 15, 20 years later. So this is such an incredible story. And I'm really excited about this episode. So Shakira, let's start with the basics. What is sickle cell disease?
Yeah, I'm going to teach y'all all about sickle cell disease today.
We're ready to learn. Go ahead, girl.
All right. So sickle cell disease is a genetic disorder that affects red blood cells. So it's caused by a mutant gene that you inherit from your parents. And as we know, red blood cells are the cells that carry oxygen from your lungs. So when you breathe in, right, these cells act as the transport system to take the oxygen to all the other parts of the body. Mm-hmm. So from your fingertips and your tippy toes, you know, to your brain, right, all over your body, we need oxygen, right?
Right. So the red blood cells are basically like delivery trucks, you know, right? They're delivering the oxygen everywhere that you need it.
Exactly. Red blood cells are the delivery trucks. So it's like the mail van, right? Mm-hmm. Or maybe even the Amazon delivery van for those of us who like ordering from Amazon, right? It brings that precious package that you ordered wherever you need it to be. So that's the job of the red blood cells in your body. They get the oxygen wherever it needs to go in your body. So that's why when you start running or if you're exercising, you start to breathe faster. And your heart starts to pump faster. Your pulse increases, right? So your blood is basically rushing through your veins, trying to deliver oxygen, like more oxygen as quickly as possible to these muscles that you're using. That's using up a lot of energy. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if red blood cells are the delivery truck that carries the oxygen, how is the oxygen packaged, right? Mm-hmm. That's the next question. Mm-hmm. So when you order, say, a new air fryer, Fatu, which you need to get from Amazon, I can't help myself. I got to bring food in here, right? Or say you order, you know, some new yoga pants. Mm-hmm. It's got to come in some kind of packaging, right? To keep it safe in the delivery truck during transport. So in red blood cells, that packaging system is a protein called hemoglobin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really like this analogy. I feel like it's so relatable, you know, because we all get packages. So tell us a little bit more about hemoglobin.
Yeah. So hemoglobin is the hero of our story, but unfortunately, it's also the villain of our story. Ooh. So it's the hero because, yeah, it carries oxygen, you know, throughout our body. And we need oxygen to live. But also it's the villain because when it's not working properly, it causes problems.
Ah, right? Okay. So can you explain that a little bit more?
Yes, ma'am. So sad but true. We all know. So as I said, hemoglobin acts as sort of the packaging, right, for the oxygen that's carried in your red blood cells. So as we all know, packaging is not foolproof, right? Sometimes when you order a package, it gets dinged. You see that huge dent in the box. Your heart drops. You know, you're disappointed. You don't even want to open it because you just know something's broken in there. Right? Or if there's a hole in the package, you just know there's a huge stain in those yoga pants. Right, girl?
Oh, girl. All the packaging nightmares.
All the packaging nightmares. So packaging is not foolproof. And unfortunately, that is the case with hemoglobin and sickle cell disease. That packaging system is defective. And it's defective because it's mutated, right? So the thing is, though, Fatu, that in sickle cell disease, that mutant hemoglobin actually changes the shape of the red blood cells themselves, right? So it causes the transport vehicle, the red blood cells, to be deformed. That's intense, right? Imagine if you had a delivery van carrying a bunch of packages that didn't fit well inside the van, right? So maybe the boxes were too long and you had to drive with the back of the door open and the boxes sticking out the back of the door, maybe sticking out the passenger window, right? Or maybe the packages are way too heavy. So it was weighing down the van so much that the, you know, your back exhaust pipe is scraping the road. So whatever. In both of these situations, I know it's very like intense, these situations. In both of these situations, that delivery truck would have a hard time doing its job, right? Mm. If you're driving with your back door open and packages sticking out, you have a pretty tough time going up hills and turning corners and going over speed bumps, that kind of thing. So similarly, with sickle cell disease, the red blood cells are misshapen. So they can't function properly. And instead, they cause a lot of problems.
Wow, that's so intense. And it's, you know, it's just, it's really incredible to think also, it's like, it's not even, right, the entire red blood cell that has the issue. It's just this hemoglobin protein. Mm-hmm. And that sort of leads this to this cascade of problems, right, that then just makes life so difficult and painful for patients who do live with sickle cell disease every day.
Yeah. Yeah. And that tells you how absolutely essential hemoglobin is, right? It has such a big effect on the red blood cells. I agree.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. So you mentioned that red blood cells can't function normally when they're misshapen. So what symptoms does that usually cause in patients? Can you explain that a little bit more?
Yep. So normal red blood cells are disc-shaped. So think of like CDs or DVDs. Those are kind of old now, I know, right? So what's new? Like Blu-ray discs, right? Does anyone have Blu-ray anymore? I don't know. What do they have now, Fatu? Some kind of disc. Or like a Frisbee, right? Do people even play Frisbee anymore? I don't know. Think of some kind of disc, right? So it's sort of like a flat disc-shaped type of cell. So in sickle cell disease, the mutant hemoglobin distorts the red blood cells into a sickle shape. So think of like a half moon or like a quarter moon, right? Some sort of crescent shape, right? So this is also called a sickle shape. And these sickle-shaped blood cells can't travel through the blood vessels as easily as the normal blood cells can because they're kind of stiff. Right, they're not as flexible as, say, these discs that can bend and you know turn through the tight blood vessels as easily. So instead, these sickle blood cells tend to clump together. And if you've got cells clumping together in your blood vessels, that's going to slow down blood flow, right? And it can even cause blockages, right? Especially in those smaller blood vessels in like your extremities, your fingers and toes, right? Mm-hmm. So these sickled blood cells also, they break down easily. So there's constant loss of red blood cells. And that results in a low number of red blood cells, which is called anemia. So people suffering from this disease are usually anemic, and many conditions can cause anemia, right? But anyone who's anemic will tell you that one symptom is feeling tired.
Yeah.
So fatigue and shortness of breath. Mm. Also with sickle cell disease, the rapid breakdown of red blood cells causes jaundice. And that's when you get yellowing of the skin and of the whites of your eye. They get yellow and that's called jaundice. So there are so many symptoms that people with sickle cell disease suffer from. Mm-hmm. And the symptoms vary in severity from person to person. But the lack of oxygen to the organs can lead to organ damage.
Oh, my goodness.
They get painful swelling in the extremities, right? Their hands and their feet. They also can have high blood pressure, right? If you have something blocking your blood vessel, your heart is pumping as hard as it can to try to get blood to those farther parts of your body that is so hard to get to because there's a blockage, right? So they can have high blood pressure, which is another serious condition in itself that can lead to heart failure and strokes, right? And on top of that, they also tend to get a lot of infections. So this is an incredibly severe condition to live with. So these people can have normal days when they feel fine. And they can have days when they're feeling really tired, like we said, right? Imagine going about your daily life, climbing steps and doing all the normal things you usually do, but you're doing that all while not getting enough oxygen, right? So it's almost like your cells are gasping for oxygen. So you're going to feel exhausted, right? And they can go from normal to tired to that situation I just explained where the sickled blood cells clump together and they get stuck in the blood vessels and cause a blockage. And that the technical term or the medical term for that is vaso-occlusive crisis or VOC. And that's a really dangerous situation, as you can imagine, because it can cause eye problems, stroke, and death, of course, right? It can of course lead to death. So, and these people have excruciating pain, right, from these blockages. So when this happens, they have to be hospitalized to get blood transfusions and treatment for the pain and to clear the blockage. So some patients with severe sickle cell disease describe having to be in the hospital every single month for treatment for these pain crises. And sometimes they're in the hospital for weeks at a time. So it's just an incredibly, incredibly debilitating disease to live with.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. That's just really, really debilitating and so hard to live with. I couldn't even imagine that. And then I think the really scary part also is
these things can happen anytime, right? So you can go from a day mm-hmm. where you're feeling like, you know, like, okay, you know, things are going well, to then all of a sudden you have debilitating pain and then you're in the hospital for weeks. I mean, yeah. How can you manage to live, you know, a normal life when this is always going on in the back of your mind? And then you have to then deal with all of these really intensive treatments. That's really, mm-hmm. really hard. Wow.
Yeah. You're right. And actually, a lot of them reported not being able to live a normal life at all, yeah. You know, not being able to even have a regular job, because if you're in the hospital all the time, right? I mean, yeah, so it definitely disrupts their lives and mm-hmm. causes a lot of hardship and fear and terror. Just, I can't imagine living with that fear of, oh my gosh, it could happen at any time, you know? So it's hard. It's really hard.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So what percentage of the population suffers from sickle cell disease?
Great question. So mm-hmm. sickle cell disease affects millions of people worldwide.
Oh.
And estimates range, and they change as these things do, mm-hmm. but they range from about 20 to 25 million, mm-hmm. with the highest incidence being in sub-Saharan Africa. Mm-hmm. And elsewhere, it's most common in people with African ancestry. And so living in the U.S., we automatically think, oh, Black people, right? But it's not just Black people. It's also common in Mediterranean countries such as Greece, Turkey, and Italy, the Middle Eastern countries, Saudi Arabia and Lebanon, for example, India, and also Hispanics, regions in South America and Central America, and parts of the Caribbean. And it's also been seen in American Indians as well.
Wow.
So, I mean, this is a genetic disease, right? So, of course, it can affect anyone, but these are the populations that it's most prevalent in.
Yeah.
And in the U.S., it is the sickle cell disease is the most common inherited blood disorder. And it's estimated to affect 1 in 500 African Americans and about 1 in 1,000 to 1,400 Hispanic Americans.
Wow. That's a pretty high prevalence if you think about it, especially in the U.S. and so widespread, which I honestly didn't know. But yeah, just like what you're saying, since it's genetic, it's like once you have the gene essentially in that population, right, then from there it can go anywhere, essentially.
Right, exactly.
So that's a pretty heavy disease burden also, you know, with the numbers that you just mentioned. And patients can receive treatment to manage the symptoms, but there was no cure initially, right? So can you tell us how CRISPR gene therapy really changed all of that?
Yeah. So there actually was a possibility of a cure, right? If, and this is a huge, huge if, because it's if you could get a bone marrow transplant, right? And I mean, just like with any transplant, finding a match, that's a huge problem, right? I don't even know what the numbers are, one in whatever, that you could find a bone marrow match to get a transplant. And then that's a pretty intense procedure to, you know, ask another person to do. So usually it would come from like family members, like a sibling or something like that, who was not affected by sickle cell disease. But the CRISPR gene therapy, with the CRISPR gene therapy, you don't have to find a match, right? There's no match to look for because the therapy uses the patient's own cells.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. I got it. So how exactly does that work then? How does the therapy work?
Yeah. So this treatment was developed by CRISPR Therapeutics and Vertex Pharmaceuticals. And so back in 2019 is when things started to like get really exciting for the sickle cell treatment, right? So if, from what I remember anyway, so that's early 2019 before COVID, or 2019 BC, as the kids say now, right? Before COVID is now BC. Girl, I love it.
We are aging ourselves. It's just, it's, I know, just not worry about what the kids are doing.
The kids say 2019 BC. I was like, okay, BC. I love it. So I think that, you know, that's when I first started hearing about it. And so CRISPR Therapeutics and Vertex Pharmaceuticals, they use this really clever strategy. So one thing that's really interesting about hemoglobin mm-hmm. is that there are two forms of it. Okay. There is a form that we use in the fetus and, you know, when we're very young babies, mm-hmm. and then that form gets turned off and another form gets turned on. And that is what we use throughout the rest of our lives. Oh. So the fetal hemoglobin form is not the form that is the mutant, is not the form that is affected by the mutation that causes sickle cell disease. Hmm. It's actually that adult form that gets turned on early in childhood.
So
it's so interesting. And I don't think we know yet why the body does mm-hmm. this switch from fetal hemoglobin to adult hemoglobin. Mm-hmm. And so what these companies did, instead of trying to fix the mistake, the mutation mm-hmm. in the adult hemoglobin, instead what they did was they turned back on the fetal hemoglobin. Whoa. Because it works, right? The fetal hemoglobin, obviously, if you got through development as a fetus, you've got working hemoglobin. So they just turn back on the fetal hemoglobin in these adult patients. Yes. It's very clever, right? I thought it was a really clever strategy.
Oh my gosh. Yes. My science brain is like literally exploded when you said like those four sentences. Keep going, Shakira. I'm on the edge of my seat now.
Yes. However, the entire procedure is super, super stressful on the body. Oh. So this is what they did. First, they remove the stem cells from the patient. So mm-hmm. these are called hematopoietic stem cells, mm-hmm. basically blood stem cells, right? They remove the blood stem cells from the patient and they edit those stem cells in the lab to turn back on the fetal hemoglobin gene in those stem cells. So in the lab, so outside of the patient, they do this editing. And because it's done outside of the patient, that's called ex vivo editing. So you have to think, well, this patient has a whole set of blood stem cells remaining that has this bad gene. Are they going to now put back in these new edited blood stem cells and have them in competition with the old mutated stem cells? What they actually do is the person goes through chemotherapy to kill the disease-causing stem cells in their body. And that is why this procedure is so tough on the body, right? Because it's like having cancer, right? You have to go through chemotherapy. And so I remember reading about Victoria Gray in particular. She's one of the patients I've heard a lot about. Mm-hmm. She lost her hair, right? Of course, chemotherapy, right? So she lost her hair. She went through like all of the typical chemotherapy symptoms. And it's so hard on the body. You have to worry about getting infections, all that type of thing. Mm-hmm. So the patient goes through chemotherapy to kill the disease-causing stem cells in their body. And then the doctors put the edited stem cells back into the patient's body just using an IV. And the expectation is that these edited stem cells are they're going to find themselves to the bone marrow where they should be. And they're going to colonize the bone marrow and start producing fetal hemoglobin. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think that is so, just so amazing. And it works, right? It works. So I think a year after when they were sharing the results of the clinical trial, they were saying that 30% of the patient's hemoglobin was still this fetal hemoglobin, right? And so they're still producing the mutant red blood cells. Mm-hmm. But now you've also got the fetal hemoglobin that's producing normal blood cells so that these people can at least get, you know, they can get enough oxygen that they need throughout their body. And so what this does is this gives them the ability to live normal lives. They don't have these pain crises anymore with, you know, their blood cells blocking up their blood vessels because they have this normal fetal hemoglobin now to do the job of carrying oxygen through their body. Wow. So I just love that they did it this way. And I think this is a really, really clever way of doing it.
Yeah.
And so patients with sickle cell disease, I'm specifying with sickle cell disease because this particular treatment is both for sickle cell disease and another disease called beta thalassemia, which is similar. It's another blood disorder, but I'm specifically focusing on sickle cell disease. The clinical trial results that they reported is that the patients with sickle cell disease are free, completely free from transfusion. They don't need blood transfusions anymore, what? Right? They have enough normal red blood cells now to carry blood through their body. So they're completely free from transfusions, and that disabling pain crisis, the VOCs that they used to, have to be hospitalized for and stay in the hospital for weeks on end. So, yeah.
My gosh. Incredible. Like with a capital I, all, and a capital cred, and a capital IBL. Incredible. I think this is one of the things that I just love about science, right? It's like taking a problem, we know it's there, and okay, we're going to fix it. But a lot of times, of course, with biology and like, what we see, it's never straightforward. It's never like just A to B and you get C. But
yeah,
these researchers, just were really ingenious in being like, hey, we have this fetal hemoglobin that we know works. Let's see if we can turn it on. And I think it's just amazing that it works just as well in adults as it does in the fetus. And and then you literally have a fix, right? And this is normal and it doesn't contain the mutation. It's just, it's just amazing. I have like no words. It's just so amazing. I was literally on the edge of my seat the whole time that you were talking about all of this because I was jaw on the floor, everything. It's just so incredible. And then you give these people their lives back, right? So can you talk a little bit more about like the results and the feedback following the clinical trials? Like have you mentioned, now they don't have to get transfusions. They're basically free from the majority of the symptoms, it sounds like, including the really bad ones, like the disabling pains. But so now can they also work and, just kind of like live normal lives? How are things going for Jimmy and Victoria?
Yeah, basically, Fatu, it's been a game changer. They're basically cured, right, from this disease. It's not, they're not cured, like genetically cured, right, because they still have that mutation there affecting their adult hemoglobin. But they're cured because they're able to produce this fetal hemoglobin that can do the job of the adult hemoglobin. So it's like, I don't need you no more, adult hemoglobin.
Take a seat.
Exactly. I'm going to use my fetal hemoglobin. I think it's so interesting that our bodies does that. I really wonder, like, what was the evolutionary advantage to switching from fetal hemoglobin to adult hemoglobin, especially if the fetal hemoglobin works, right?
Right.
So it's really interesting. I wonder what the advantage was. But yeah, basically they're cured. So in the very first episode of this series that we're doing, the CRISPR Chronicles, we talked about Jimmy Olaguer and Victoria Gray, who were part of the clinical trials. And so they have talked about how much this sickle cell disease CRISPR treatment has changed their life. And so I'll put a link to that episode in the show notes, and then also to interviews that Victoria and Jimmy have given so that you can hear directly from them describing the changes in their lives. But Victoria in particular talked about being in the hospital almost every month and having to have an in-home caregiver to help her, to actually now being able to hold a regular job. And while a lot of us who have regular jobs might think this is awful, who wants a regular job?
Right.
But these people, this is like, oh my God, I can have a normal life. Have a normal life. It's like, it's so amazing.
No, it's so true. I feel like sometimes we take for granted, right? The thing of just what normalcy means. And, not everyone gets the luxury of having that, honestly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're so right.
So amazing.
That's an important perspective to keep in mind the next time you feel like quitting your job, you know? Not everyone even has the ability to do what you have the ability to do. So,
yes.
So the treatment has been a game changer and gave them the ability to live normal lives.
Just absolutely amazing. And so the treatment has already been approved by the FDA. So now is it, you know, available for potentially other sickle cell patients?
Yep. So it's approved both in the US and in Europe. I think it was approved in the US December 8th is the date I have in my head right now. And then in Europe, it was approved in February. So a couple of months ago.
Okay.
So yeah, it's approved. They, you know, they can use it to treat patients with sickle cell disease. Mm-hmm. So especially those severe forms that have people in the hospital for weeks at a time. And it's the first CRISPR-based gene therapy to be approved. So it's you know, breaking boundaries and all that. It's just, it's so wonderful to have that. And I think it sets a really exciting precedence and look forward for what's going to happen next. You know, what's going to come next? What's going to get approved next? How many diseases are we just going to start curing diseases left and right? You know, changing lives by the millions. That's such a wonderful, positive, hopeful thought. I love it.
Yes. No, it is so inspiring, Shakira. And I'm just thinking, like, you know, this is happening within our lifetimes. You know, I think that part of it is also just so incredible, from when CRISPR was just like a theoretical thing to actually discovering it, to having, you know, researchers win the Nobel Prize for it, to now having it used to actually treat diseases. Like, that time is so short, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just, it's so amazing. And this is, you know, the first CRISPR-based gene therapy, and it's just going to lead the line to newer ones, which I think are also going to make these treatments even more accessible to even more patients. And it's just really, the sky's the limit, you know? I think it's just going to be so exciting to see what can come out of this and what we can do next and how we're really just going to be able to give people back normal, simple, even maybe sometimes boring lives. And that's
boring
lives. You know, like, honestly, because it's being in a hospital for days on end and in excruciating pain, you know, and just being able to just have a 9-to-5 and just live, you know, a regular life and enjoy, you know, your family and friends and everything. So yeah, there's so many benefits to this. And this is just, it's so exciting. Like, I can't wait to see what's coming down the line. Because if we did it for this, I mean, who knows what's going to come next?
Yeah. And you know what's so inspiring also, just reading the stories about the people who live their lives with sickle cell disease, right? And to see how much they aspire to achieve a lot in their lives. And they have to deal with these pain crises, you know, and like being in the hospital all the time, these really, you know, difficult situations, but they're so hopeful and there's so much that they want to accomplish with their lives. And now all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh, the sky's the limit. I can do all these things. So, it's very cool. It's been really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really good. As you said, to see this happen in our lifetime.
No,
for sure.
Completely.
So that is it for this episode of the CRISPR Chronicles. The next episode we'll do really light touches into some of the other clinical trials that are ongoing using CRISPR gene therapy to try and cure genetic diseases and even some infectious diseases as well. So we'll have a really nice episode. It won't be as in-depth as the sickle cell, you know, episode was, but it'll be, you know, really light touches on some of the diseases that maybe the most exciting ones that are currently in clinical trials for CRISPR gene therapy.
Excellent.
And so with that, we'd like to thank our wonderful listeners for once again tuning in to another episode of We Love Science. If you'd like to reach out to us, please do so by email at lovesciencepodcast@gmail.com. And until next time, bye everyone.
Bye everyone.